Live-Gästen im Studio, Delaney Davidson und seine fucking Band. Ben, Pierre und Davide sind hier im Studio. Hello, how is it going?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, on tour, on Europe, first time with this band. How did it happen? Just for one tour you put the band together?
They just said yes.
And how did you ask?
Please, can you come on the tour?
So, why did you choose these three guys?
Their looks.
And what do you think? Why did he ask you? Because you're the best? Because now, you know each other for a long time, don't you?
Yeah, Delaney and I have known each other for quite a while in New Zealand.
How long now, Ben, have we known each other?
4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years probably. We've known each other.
Yep.
Great. That's very loud, that big red guitar. Pierre Amir, how long have we known each other for now? Maybe 10 years, possibly?
12 years.
12 years. When was the first date we met?
It was around June 2012.
Was the 17th, I think, a Thursday evening. We got together in Sainte Croix to have a rehearsal for the Swiss Expo.
Yeah, 4:30.
4:35.
Maybe.
And me and Davide, we met in Los Angeles once in a pirate bar, and he smashed the drum kit and set the bar on fire, and we thought, hey, genius.
So you, David, plays in the Mojomatics. You played together with the Dead Brothers, and there's a long
Pierre does a lot of his own solo stuff. We're lucky to get him actually off his very busy schedule to come and join us for this one summer. And Ben Willey is a highly sought after session musician and hired gun in New Zealand, so we had to pay off a lot of people and say, you can't, your tours can go to hell for this one summer.
You have been touring quite a long time, and you played here solo a few years ago, but now you recorded the album with the band and you're on tour with the band. What's the difference, or what made you change the setup, the lineup?
It's a very gradual change for me, because I often go to Montebelluna, where David is not from, and I record in the studio there some jazz stuff. Yeah. We often play there. We recorded probably three albums there now: Self Decapitation, Bad Luck Man, and Swim Down Low. And always the same magic. So sometimes with the band, it's fun, and sometimes we just have a good time. I'd like to say, on this rainy, sunny afternoon, thank you. Thank you. We're now going to play a song for you called Devil's Right Hand by Steve Earle, one of our favourite actors. We hear he does some music as well. Thank you. Thanks for having us, Matzel, on the radio show today. Looking forward to the coffee. Thank you. Take it away, guys.
Fought a big war. I saw my first pistol in the general store. In the general store when I was 13. Thought it was the finest thing I ever had seen. I asked if I could have one when I grew up. Mama dropped a dozen and she really blew up. Yeah, she really blew up and I didn't understand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand. She really blew up and I didn't understand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand. The devil's right hand. The devil's right hand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand. Was a cap and ball cold. Shoes have had a lunch, but the loads are mine slow. Yes, the loads are mine slow. As I soon found out, I can get you into trouble, but I can't get you out. Then I went and got myself a Colt 45. Pulled a peacemaker, but I didn't know why. I didn't know why, and I didn't understand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand. I didn't know why, and I didn't understand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand. The devil's right hand. The devil's right hand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand. him in a company town. I caught him on a cheat until I shot the dog down. I shot the dog down, watched the dog fall. Never touched a holster, never had a chance to draw. Trials in the morning and the drunk he had a beard. Asked me how I beat it, not guilty, I said. Not guilty, I said, you got the wrong man. Nothing touched the trigger but the devil's right hand. Not guilty, I said, you got the wrong man. Nothing touched the trigger but the devil's right hand. The devil's right hand, the devil's right hand. Nothing touched the trigger but the devil's right hand.
Thank you, listeners. That was Devil's Right Hand by Steve Earle. We got a lovely jazz backing who seems to have fallen asleep, but here he comes. Yeah, coffee times, the good times with friends. Next song we got for you is a song by the wonderful Chet Baker. It's called What the Hell Am I Doing? Who knows? But this next song will help you find out. Yeah, check it out. Little heart, go slow. I'm already here, you know. Over the lake you see the wind blow. Through the trees and through the snow. Winter comes around. Heartbeat slow. Senses all shut down. Resistance in the coil. A teacup waits as the water starts to boil. Live according to the season. In the home where I was born. Things ain't got a heavy reason. Sun don't come before the dawn. Little man must go. He choked the business down the river thick and slow. Your dirty meddling hand will drive the value down and buy up all the land. See the head is floating. The body sits there all alone. Little heart, the world is changing. Little boys leave their home. Little Heart, a song about an old man's granddad who stopped talking to him because he volunteered to work on a hippie parade. Terrible. That's all. It's been a pleasure to come into the studio today. Is there anything more you'd like to ask us?
Sure. Endless talking we can do.
Okay. Yeah, let's have those questions now.
Yeah, about this special connection in finding the right sound. You said you were hanging out at David's studio and doing sessions, playing chess.
It's not David's studio. The studio's in Montebelluna, and he's not from Montebelluna. So he has a very good friend called Matt who has a studio there. But David is there. Helps him a lot, yeah. Yeah.
And how you get the right sound?
With instruments, usually. Usually we get some instruments, we turn them up and play them. And we have a big tape deck there with a 2-inch tape machine. And a big desk. What was the album was recorded on this desk? Some album on the desk that Matt has. Rolling Stones. Rolling Stones record on this desk.
Yeah, but it's the technical thing and the, well, the other, the inspirational, the mood and, yeah, the style. How do you find it? Where do you get that?
You just get it. Your whole life, it builds up, and that's what happens when you get in a studio. You just try it out, see what happens.
And that's coming out, that kind of folk noir that some people are saying.
Seems so, yeah. I guess that's how it happens. You can try and make music go a certain direction if you want, but it's never works that way. All you can do is try and make music and it goes whatever way it wants. And hopefully you don't hate it when it's finished. If you do, just don't let anybody hear it.
So you think it all happens by fate and you don't do your part?
Yeah, you do your part, but you can't do anything else. So what's to say? You do what you do, and it's what you do, and it ends up as what you do. There's nothing else you can do.
Yeah, but you have some wishes and plans, and you want to go one day, you want to go that direction, the other day the other. So which is your direction? How do you?
I don't understand what you're asking, really.
Yeah, going somewhere. You have plans, wishes with your music. Where to go? Where you come from, where you're going to. Kind of philosophical, but...
No, you just make music. That's simple. It happens all on the time. That's a lot of it is right in the moment.
And you don't think about what you're doing?
No, often at the end of an album you can be really surprised because you think you had an idea. And then you get to the end and there it is. It's something different.
And you don't think it's something special that you're in 2014 with these four guys? That's
normal. That's life. That's what we do. It's special, sure.
But this,
I love you guys. Did I tell you?
Love you too, Delaney.
You guys are great.
Brothers in crime.
That's us.
He's crying. Brothers in crying, maybe.
Brothers in crying.
Yeah.
So you're on tour, four guys, four adult guys. So you...
Who are you calling?
Three adults, actually.
And who is the child?
Pierre.
Or who is the grandpa?
I'm the grandpa, for sure. We should speak maybe now to Davide about... he has a really great record label, Outside Inside, and he has some interesting things to say. I think we should listen to him now. Davide.
I'm not the guy who likes
it. Oh, fuck off. Just say some shit in the microphone. With Outside Inside Records, you feel you are presenting something special, or you just put out anything?
The idea was to make a label and release the stuff we recorded in the studio, Outside Inside Studio.
And I mean, you record a lot of stuff in the studio, so how do you choose what you release?
When something special.
Ah, okay.
And maybe, you know, you talk with the band and they need to release something. And so this happened.
And how do you know if it's something special?
When you record, when you're there, you see.
What are the what are some bands you've recorded in the studio that, apart from, obviously we won't talk about the elephant in the room of this album we're on tour with, but other bands you think you really wanted to push out into the world a bit?
I'm not sure now. We're still waiting for some new stuff coming.
Yeah. What are some of the releases you've made so far on Outside Inside?
We did the Movie Star Junkies.
Movie Star Junkies is a band, Italian band.
Yeah. And my band, the Mojomatics.
Mojomatics. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We wanted to start with our band to see how it works. And then we try with you.
With Papone.
With Papone, yeah. Delaney Davidson.
Okay. And you have another, like a 7-inch single.
Yeah.
Of a...
This is a band from New Zealand, Orchestrosphere.
Orchestrosphere is kind of psychedelic.
Yeah.
Jedi rock, crazy dance music.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, amazing band.
You introduced us to us.
Yeah, we met each other in the festival in Cafe Cairo in Bern in the Gartenfest. That was great. Really, I mean, you can see the magic when these guys play. Orchestra of Spheres, they're really good. They do a lot of touring.
Yeah.
Maybe they're coming on tour. Well, guys, anything else you want to say about Outside Inside? Like some next release that's coming up that's worth looking? Where can people see Outside Inside? They go outsideinside.com.
Outsideinsiderec.com. Yeah.
And that's also the connection to the... like if you like the sound of Swim Down Low and you have a band, you really want to go and record, you can look up Outside Inside Studios. That's a really great and very cheap studio in only 1 hour's drive from Venice. So you can go and see some great stuff in Venice as well.
What about the economical situation? Having a label, putting out records, can you do your living from it?
No.
It's just an expensive hobby?
Yeah, we can just cover expenses, but yeah, we cannot make a job out of it.
So what's the average amount of copies you put out?
Usually we do 1,000.
And you sell worldwide, or is there a market in Italy?
Yeah, we have a distribution in Italy and European distribution, rough trade, and sometimes we try to go also in US, but it's kind of hard, so we mostly distribute in Europe.
Outside Inside Records, Delaney Davidson and David. I think you're starting the next song.
No, we're just making some stuff up. Anything else anybody wants to say? Ben, this is the first time you're on German radio. Why don't you tell them something exciting about
New Zealand,
your view of the world?
Exciting to say, sadly.
Tell us about dogs. Tell us about something about dogs.
Something about dogs. I have nothing. In German, they're called Hunds.
Hunde, yeah.
Hunde.
I think they know that.
Well, I found that interesting. Maybe they didn't.
We call it hound. Hound.
Yeah, we say it's a hound. It's a hound dog. Yeah, there you go.
So this is your first rock and roll tour of Europe, right?
It is.
And you've been in Europe before, though.
I have, once before.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing here last time?
I was singing in a Catholic choir, and I toured the Baltic States.
Oh, wow. So you were singing Catholic music?
Catholic music.
In a choir?
Yep.
In the Baltic States?
In the Baltic States. Quite a different thing from what I'm doing now.
How long ago was that?
That was about 2008, 2009.
Wow. That's how long ago now? 13, 14 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, that was quite a long time ago. I was about 12.
Wow. You look quite young for your age.
Yeah.
And what sort of shows were those? Like, obviously they weren't like last night in the bar that we played in.
No, they weren't. They were in churches and cathedrals.
What sort of crowds were you playing to?
Sometimes quite big ones. We sang in Frankfurt.
Yep.
And we had a fantastic crowd there.
How many people, roughly?
Maybe a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Can you give us a small demonstration of one of the songs you sang on that tour?
Goodness me. I probably can't. We sang... it was, 12, 13 years ago, Delaney. I can't remember...
David, he really wants to hear some Catholic music. He's from Italy, so he misses it in Germany, I think.
We sang a Benjamin Britten piece called...
Britpop, right? Song of Spring?
No, it was...
Gregorian?
No, I honestly can't remember. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This is hugely embarrassing. What's it? No, but I can't remember it.
Just the melody. Wait,
yeah, without the lyrics.
Maybe you could sing it.
Ave Maria Stella.
Something like that.
Beautiful. That's lovely. Thank you, Ben. Yeah. Pierre, you're the only one who's hasn't really said anything. Now, you've been quite busy over the last couple of years. You've opened your own record label. You've been pushing your own solo tour after the capsizing of the rotten boat that was the Dead Brothers. How would you describe that transition going from being in a band to being more solo driven and putting out maybe your own thing? How would that transition be summed up?
Listen, first you gotta think of every aspect of the music once you go solo. So
what would those aspects be like? In fact, would you agree to say that music becomes one of the smallest parts of what you think about and all the other logistical sides come in?
Yeah, that's for sure. That's what takes less time. It's a pain in the ass to have your own label, actually.
That's really hard work.
I want to say after releasing 4 albums.
Yeah.
I would advise this to nobody. Just
most people will say that to people opening a label. That's definitely a piece of advice you'll get, is don't do it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing when you start to look into the idea for yourself and you start to ask other people. A lot of people will really say, make sure you know what you... make sure you really want to do it, I guess.
I mean, there's a lot of freedom. You just do what you want when you want, which is the positive aspect to having your own label, which is a big advantage when you look at bands that are just waiting to get an answer from their record company, or they're waiting to get some kind of feedback from
any kind of pushback.
Excuse me?
Any kind of pushback from their label, or
So when you're alone, you think, well,
will I ring myself up?
Will I ring myself up or not?
Yeah, I'll let that guy wait a bit longer.
And most of the time, the telephone is just engaged.
Yeah.
So that solves really pretty much the problem.
That's quite good.
Would
you say that, I mean, obviously there's rewards as well. And if you were to say, for argument's sake, not that this is true at all, but you were to say, okay, I don't release any more music, I just make my label, that's the cap, that's the roof, it's done, it's time, I just concentrate on what it's put out, would you say that there are rewards that you've had along the way from releasing your own music?
Work, contrary to releasing my music on another label, you mean?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, that's what I said before, it's just doing what you want when you want.
That's the reward only. Are there other things that make it worthwhile?
Financially, you have to invest money, so even if the records are yours and you sell them and all the money's for you, you still have to break even with that money you invested. So on the financial side, I wouldn't say it's a big advantage, really.
No financial advantage, but a big artistic freedom.
Yep.
And a hell of a lot more work.
Yeah, and really things you just don't want to know about.
Do you think you would approach another record label now if they asked you, Pierre Amir, we love what you do, we want to put out your stuff, we want to do a next album with you. Do you think you would treat them differently to how you would have treated them before you had your own record label?
Probably, because you know what it is.
Mm.
Maybe you know this reality better. Yeah. But that's the thing also, if somebody rings me up, let's see, but I never could be bothered to call anyone or ask any label if they want me.
Mm.
It's a step I didn't do yet.
That's quite a... yeah, that's a whole other step to do that.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I have to say also, I mean, I'd be very happy to be on a label that I'm happy to be on, but I'm always a bit suspicious of families and churches and, you know, like, ah, this label, that's what we do, and all the bands we have to...
A scene.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you get many people approaching you to say, oh, you've got a record label, could you help us and put us out?
I had a few, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you? Obviously, there's this other thing at the moment. There's a lot more smaller record labels, thanks to the deconstruction of the music industry and business. Do you think this is a helpful thing, or is it at best it can be like a money lending system where you say,
I think so. There's no miracles in this. It's the computer world, basically. This is allowed with the computer world. You do everything yourself, but you end up doing a lot more different tasks. Actually, I'm gonna release soon a new album on my label, but it's gonna be a compilation, a tribute to Slim Gaylard.
Ah, okay, cool.
This project's been on my mind for quite a while. Slim Gaylard is a musician from the Jive area. He started in the late 30s and went on, and was a multi-instrumentalist, played the piano with the back of his fingers, invented a whole new language in which he sings, which he calls Vout. And there's a whole lot of people I want to ask to contribute to this. And this is, I think it's going to be fun, and it has this collective aspect because there's going to be many musicians and bands on the. So this is good. I don't know about my own stuff. I'm not too excited at the idea of going through the whole process to release a new Pierre Omer album on my label.
Is that just a matter of material, or is it more?
No, for the.
That's for the hard work involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, having your own record labels kind of pushed you away from the idea of releasing music. Do you think there are any illusions? Do you think there are any illusions in the music industry, like the idea that there are miracles? Someone makes a song at home on the computer, puts it out on Facebook, and then downloads 20 million versions overnight. Do you think this is a complete load of bullshit? Or is that?
I'm sure it's not impossible, but a lot of stories we hear are bullshit, that's for sure. There's always a network and some people pushing behind. Things just don't fall from the trees.
Yeah.
But it's, you never know.
Theoretically, it could happen, is the idea. Really.
Who knows, really?
Yeah, who knows? It's kind of like the idea that if you see a big poster of a band, they must be famous. And you know, if you do that stuff, all you got to do is pay some guy to put up posters, and it looks that way, you know.
Yeah, that's the, how do you call it?
That's the illusion. Oh, that's the business.
This is our size.
Yeah. We're laughing now because we're looking at a postage stamp sized poster for that show we did last night.
Gambling. I guess there's a
gambling
aspect when you
with promotion
any kind of business and putting out a huge poster when you just came out of your rehearsing space.
It's risky.
Could be a way to gamble.
Yeah, but I mean, it's getting the message out there. Promo and people turning up to the show is quite separate. That's another illusion, right? You can put up a million posters. It doesn't mean anyone's going to come.
I don't know what makes people come. Word of mouth.
Word of mouth and a good buzz about the show. Someone in that town is telling people this is going to be a good night. That's the best you can have. Mm. Whether that person's a big promotion, publicity person, and goes for the newspapers and all the radios, or whether they're a total local
dude
or dudess or woman who says, tells all her friends, this guy's fucking great. This will be a really good show.
That's right.
They tell people, it can happen on a big way or a small way, but that's definitely the best. There's someone in that town pushing for you.
So how did you experience the show last night?
We had a great time. It was awesome. It was a room full of people drinking and dancing, and we were playing really loud and sweating like hell, and it was great. It was a good show.
You had different experiences before?
No, every single show we do is exactly like that.
It's perfect.
We've had a lot of experiences on this tour, and obviously we have a huge amount of collective experience of shows with the four of us all being full-time musicians for a number of years now, playing maybe to a room of three people who are asleep, or a show where we had to stop halfway through, or whatever. So
For a funeral.
So last night was good. It went really smooth and we enjoyed it, and we had the feeling that the people enjoyed it. We're all going in the same direction.
Back to your artistic work, last album, Swim Down Low. Can you tell us about the process of creating that and the title?
I wrote the songs, went to the studio, recorded them, said to Matt, hey, what do we call the album? And Matt goes, I don't know, something like Swim Down Low. And we're like, yeah, okay. Then we couldn't think of anything else that was the name somehow. We were maybe going to call it Terrible Times. But it had this idea. We played at the Cafe Cairo at the Garten Fest with a band. We had Davide and Matt from the Mojo Maddocks. We had a violin player, Menik Gugul, and we had Pierre Amer on the guitar and accordion, and we had Pansy Christ Robert Butler on the slide guitar. And we just had this band that played these songs, and it really worked. And then straight after that, we went to the studio, and I'd started to play a bit of electric guitar, and that kind of had that, oh, this is really a nice direction to go. And me and Davide recorded mostly the songs, just us two, and then we built them up afterwards. And those are the songs we play now with these guys for this tour.
But you're not only a musician, but you also do several other artwork.
Yeah, I bullshit a lot. I'm a good bullshit artist. And
I can agree with that.
Yeah, Ben definitely vouched for that.
Yeah.
Why he's a bullshit artist?
Mm. Why?
Why, yeah, why do you think so?
Ah, oh, he just gets away with things.
Can't help himself.
He can't help himself. I mean, you're interviewing him. You can understand, surely.
Oh, well, yeah, he's bullshitting around, yeah. He's taking over the studio almost, yeah.
Exactly. There you go. There's your perfect example.
Got no coffee to keep him talking.
Yeah, he wouldn't give us any coffee.
He's going to clean your windows soon if you don't watch him.
Thanks a lot.
Get rid of these cobwebs there.
Yeah,
it's only 5 minutes left. So tell us something about your other artistic projects.
Which ones? Well, Instagram. I take a lot of photos on Instagram and put them up on the Facebook. I love it. I like the filters. I like the idea that you can make everyday life look really exotic and foreign and exciting, and you can make it look like, even if you were right at that moment, you wish you were still in that picture. I think that's hilarious.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. I laughed a lot when I figured mm-hmm. that one out.
Hey, Delaney. Hey.
Delaney.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Guys, anything you want to say before we go? Davide, anything you wanted? Like if people hear us?
Your writing also. There's a Swim Down Low.
Oh, that's a tour diary. Yeah, yeah. Yep, I did a lot of tour diary stuff writing. I still wanted to find the time to go and sit down and write really concentrated for maybe 2 or 3 weeks and just see what you can come up with. It would be interesting. But for now, this is bits and pieces, this diary, this tour journal that we sell on the tour. Yeah. It sounds like the car's starting up, guys.
What about the other dates in Germany?
Oh, the other dates in Germany.
People might want to come along.
This guy's got a brain.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to play tomorrow night in Rosenheim. And then the next night we play in München at the Unterdeck. After that we drive up north. We play in Rostock and then Lübeck. We play in Unna and Krefeld and also in Berlin. And then we go up to Holland for 2 shows on the 1st and 2nd. And
Hamburg before.
Hamburg we play as well on the boat. And then we do Haarlem, Utrecht and Amsterdam. We go and play before we start on the way back down. And we also play in Frankfurt on the 4th at the one and only Dreikönigskeller. I don't know if you've ever been there, but if you haven't, definitely come and check it out. It's well worth it.
And after the tour, what's happening in your life?
We all split up. Davide drives to Milano, Pierre goes to Madrid, probably. Ben Woolley goes on holiday. I go to the USA.